I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE, host of the Russia-USA-Ukraine talks aimed at ending the NATO proxy war in Europe. It's also where tomorrow world leaders gather for the World Government Summit, even as the USA fills this region with billions of dollars of weaponry to fight Iran while the genocide continues in Palestine. All this as the last major nuclear missile treaty between the USA and Russia, New START, is just days from expiring, increasing the threat of the end of the world. Against this backdrop, the USA is threatening NATO ally Greenland. The icy largest island in the world is a de facto colony of US vassal Denmark. That's Denmark that illegally recognized an area of Yugoslavia called Kosovo that militarily supported illegal bombing of Serbia and the invasions of Iraq and Libya. That's Denmark that only a few months ago finally apologized for forced sterilization of the native Inuit girls of Greenland. President Trump, backed by oligarch tech warlords, claims Greenland belongs to the USA and is open about wanting to take it. He says the people of Greenland, with much worse poverty rates than Denmark, will be richer if it becomes part of the USA. In Greenland is Naya Nathanielsen, Greenland's Minister of Business, Mineral Resources, Energy, Justice and Gender Equality. Naya, thank you so much. Minister, thank you so much for coming on Going Underground. Let's just start before we get on to noises from Washington about procedural frameworks, upcoming technical meetings. Why you called it betrayal? Tell me about the betrayal, the offense that you felt has been committed by the United States, your ally, against Greenland.
Well, I just think you spoke it very well when you said that the U.S. is a friend and an ally. And of course, you don't expect friends and allies to talk about acquiring you or even invading you. So I think it was very bewildering for us to be witnessing these different statements, and also a lot of worry in the people of Greenland following these statements. So yes, I think many people felt it like a betrayal from an old ally.
Yeah, I mean, of course, speaking from this region, huge military buildup. There's been a genocide in Gaza. It has been relatively peaceful in Greenland in recent years. I mean, focusing in on what Trump is using as his reasons for the invasion of Greenland, just tell me about the mineral resources strategy for which you're responsible as minister. It's mandated by your parliament. You've outlawed mining of uranium used either for civil or military means.
Well, in Greenland, we are actually very much pro-mining. We want to develop our resources because we only have first part of the value chain in many of our resources. We don't have a lot of production in Greenland. So for us, it is a good fit if we can develop our, for instance, mineral sector with outside investors. We do have different, you can say, boundaries for this. One is we have a very high ESG standard. So we expect the environment to be safe throughout this process. We expect also that workers are treated well and that there is safety and security around these mineral projects. So within this framework of a very high ESG standard, we try to develop our mineral sector with the outside world. And we do have a ban on uranium mining. It was necessary and was decided upon by the parliament because the uranium mining in itself caused a lot of commotion and distrust among the people. And once we took that off the table, I think that people were more united in a more pro-mining approach.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there still radioactive contamination in Greenland? Describe, I mean, there's some opposition, quite a degree of opposition. Pituffik Space Base and four U.S. nuclear bombs crash-landed there on the Wilson Holm Fjord. Isn't it radioactive contamination already there in Greenland?
I think there's two different things. One is an accident that was cleaned up in the 50s. And of course, that was a major, not only scandal, but very devastating for the local population. But the question of uranium mining is quite a different question. And of course, there will always be some radiation from the earth. That is how it is. You cannot change geology, but we do not want it mined over a certain grade. So we do have this law in place that will make sure that uranium is not mined if it exceeds a threshold decided upon by the parliament. So it is possible to do mining in Greenland, but not in areas that comes above the threshold for uranium radiation.
Yeah, I understand they're different, but I mean it's new NASA 2025 research showing that the there's possibility of contamination from that 1960s U.S. Bomber crash in Greenland. You're not worried as a minister about the population of Greenland being affected by
it? Well, this is not my portfolio and not really my part to talk about that old, I think, that accident, and I would refer you to another program for that.
Sure. Okay. Well, this Operation Arctic Endurance, what was your feelings before it happened? I mean, this happened just before Trump started tweeting or posting on social media, Truth Social, about the fact that Greenland was the United States. Isn't that started the huge discussion at Davos? I mean, what was your feeling about France sending 15 soldiers, Britain sending one, Belgium sending one? What was that Operation Arctic Endurance about? Was it a wise thing to think that it could threaten United States occupation of your island?
That was never the intent. We are part of the NATO alliance, and we have been asking for more monitoring of the Arctic in the high north for quite a while, and these exercises are going on continuously. So this is not something really new or something that novel, really. As I understood it, this exercise was pushed forward a bit, but it was scheduled to happen anyway. And for us, I think it seems necessary that NATO keep building up their capacities and strength within the Arctic. So for us, we see a lot of positive side effects of the NATO presence or the monitoring of the Arctic. It has dual use that is important for us.
We have a very wide coastline. You don't think, Minister, that makes Greenland the target? Because putting NATO soldiers in Greenland, because you're going to have to remind our viewers about how Greenland is a kind of member of NATO, not a member of the EU. It has a sort of special type of sovereignty. Can you not see why it might make Greenland a target, given that NATO has been involved in brutal wars in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, in Afghanistan, in all across the world? That's what those NATO troops signify to Russia and China.
We are part of the NATO alliance. So for us, it makes sense that what we want is more monitoring of the Arctic. So are we a target or not? Well, not any more than any other NATO member states, I would say. And our hope is that, of course, that the world will look into a more calm future with more peace. That is our aim and goal. We have no intentions of driving up tensions in any way or other, but we are part of the NATO alliance and we stand by that.
What did you mean when you spoke in May to the Financial Times? You said, we're trying to find out what does the new world look like. In those terms, Chinese investment is of course problematic, but so to some extent is American, because what are the purposes of the US investments?
Well, I think everybody in the Western world is right now trying to figure out their footing in this new world order that is changing and that has already changed. You could have listened to Mark Carney speak from Davos when he talked about a rupture. So I think there is a change in alliances and in thinking. And of course, we're trying as well to figure out how do we approach this. We are a very small country. Even if you look at Greenland in itself, 57,000 people, or if you look at the Kingdom of Denmark, we are still a very small kingdom. So for us, alliances is very necessary to keep on, to keep the peace and keep open societies that can profit from trade and not worry about instability. So for countries like us that is quite small, I think we have had positive experiences from the past decades where I think that we have had a Western world that has been rather peaceful. If you look at the bigger picture, I realize this is not the case for many other regions. And I think definitely that we as a world should be much more mindful of engaging with other parts of the world also. We have a lot of export to China. We are happy about that. It's a big part of our economy. We have a lot of export to Asia. infrastructure in general. We don't want to risk that at all. We also have partnerships with the European Union, with UK, Canada, Australia, and other countries. We are figuring out how to develop maybe deeper ties towards Asia as well. I'm not thinking China in particular, but that
well,
could
that's
be
the
Japan
thing, isn't
or
it?
Other countries.
Because you mentioned Mark Carney. You mentioned Mark Carney, the thief of Venezuelan gold when he was at the Bank of England. The difference between Greenland's politicians and Canadian, with respect to Mark Carney, is he immediately started talks with China. Keir Starmer of England, after talking about the security threat of China, immediately went to China after realizing that, as you say, the footing is being lost by some NATO members. Why are you not in China actively trying to seek alliances with the Chinese government now that you know that the United States is not an ally at all?
Well, I think we already have our export to China. We have no interest in having more Chinese investments into our country necessarily. We see China as a competition when it comes to our mineral development. They're dominating the world markets. Is protectionism is not necessarily very good for our development of our mineral resources. We do, as I said, have export, but we also look towards continents like Africa that has been quite hit by the resource curse and had other countries come in and dominate not only their mineral sector, but also infrastructure areas and so on. And we try to make sure that it's still Greenlanders who has, if you will, hand on the steering wheel in terms of developing our country. So we want to engage through trade, but we don't want to sell out any sovereignty, regardless of who we're talking about.
Yeah, but the poverty rates in Greenland are double that of Denmark, your colonial masters. Isn't it obvious why Greenlanders want independence? I mean, it's clear
that it's not working.
And the investment from
that we have colonial masters. We do have a self-government. I hope you realize that we have pushed towards more and more self-determination throughout the years. And we are working towards that with Denmark in order to gain more self-determination. Are we in agreement? Not always. Definitely not. This is a complex situation. Still, I don't think that's for any other country to form an opinion upon. That is a decision for Greenlanders, by Greenlanders, trying to figure out how do we want the future. Right now, we are, as you mentioned, more concerned with fighting inflation, making sure our healthcare system is better off, looking at how to diversify our economy. There's a lot of subjects that is also quite high on our agenda in Greenland. And we have seen throughout the decades how the outside world's interest in our resources sort of has sometimes taken lead in how our self-determination process is. We want to get away from a situation like this. So I think we're doing the right thing, inviting people in to collaborate with us, but on our terms and with, I think, sound legislation. We are in charge of our underground. This is our decision. It's our jurisdiction. It's not up to any other country.
Now, Nathanielsen, I'll stop you there. More from Greenland's Minister of Business, Mineral Resources, Energy, Justice and Gender Equality after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm Celia with Greenland's Minister of Business, Mineral Resources, Energy, Justice and Gender Equality, now Nathanielsen. Minister, you were talking about the fact that Greenland wants to carve out its own path. What do you think most of your compatriots there in Greenland feel? Because there have been some reports that some have actually supported Trump's plan as a way to leverage it to facilitate independence from Denmark, for which there is a majority. All polls show, as regards support. Do you not think that Trump could be a useful avenue, his attempt to take over Greenland, avenue for the Greenland people to hasten the end of Danish, you say that you have local governance, there are still huge foreign policy aspects to Greenland that are that support NATO policies that have been so destructive all around the world?
Well, first of all, I think that it's important to understand that there are many viewpoints in Greenland on the future of Greenland. We are a pluralistic democracy. There's many parties here with different opinions. There was a survey last year showing that I think it was about 85% of the population supported developing within the Kingdom of Denmark. So right now, there's not a great appetite towards any changes of that framework. And I think that should be respected. We are working towards more self-determination where it's at all possible. We're doing this
We don't know about it.
And I think we do push back, but
we don't know, do we?
Different opinions.
We don't have the data.
I want to change.
We don't have the data. We don't have the data about whether Greenland's population do not want independence from Denmark today. I mean, it's only, the most recent poll I found in Verian, conducted for Berlinske, said only about 28% wanted to keep Denmark there. And that, so we don't know whether right now if there was
poll,
a
I haven't seen that poll, but I have to rely on the ones we have got, and that is overwhelming support for being within the kingdom. And I think, but again, once again, this is a discussion for the democracy of Greenland. This is a discussion for the people and their parties. We have elected parties that define the parliament.
What was your personal reaction? Can I just interrupt there?
But we're doing.
What was your personal?
Are you interested in what I'm saying, or?
No, go ahead. But I mean, as a Minister of Gender Equality, I was wondering what your personal feeling was when Denmark finally apologized for the forced sterilization of Inuit girls in Greenland. And surely that had an impact on the Greenland population.
That was long overdue. That was long overdue. And I'm really happy about that apology. Do I think it's enough? No, we also wanted compensation that is moving forward. And even we can talk about compensations and apologies, and those were needed. It doesn't change the lives of those women that was affected. It's not. It's not that I think that absolves everything that we got an apology. It's very devastating. We are a post-colonial country and society, and that has a lot of trauma. But that trauma is for us to decide how we move through it. It's not for other countries to decide how we should approach it and what allies we should have. That is very important for a former colony to be able to have these discussions amongst ourselves without the interference of other countries. So regardless of which other countries, I still think it is up for the people in Greenland to define their future. And I think we're doing that. We have a very, I think, sober and sound democratic discussion all the time, not only about Denmark, but also about business development, about gender equality, about economics, about education, about many things that affects our lives.
You say you're a post-colonial country, and yet your poverty rate is 18% versus Denmark's, which is 12% in terms of poverty rates. And you have a US space base over which you seem to have no sovereignty at all. I mean, they're probably flying nuclear missiles over it today. The Greenland government would know nothing about it. How is it a post-colonial country?
Well, we are no longer a colony. We are accepted as a people.
We have no rights over this US base.
In our Self-Government Act, and I will not sit here and have you talk to us like a colony. We can discuss about what are the different actors' interests in Greenland. Yes, that's a fair discussion, but we are not a colony. We are a country. We have a democracy, and we are using those democratic channels to develop our country. We are not a colony still.
Why are they so much poorer, the people of Greenland, than the people of Denmark that take your fish and exports? Why is the people of Denmark so much
take
richer?
Take our fish? Could you explain what you mean by take our fish?
I mean,
we are in control of our fisheries and our business sector, and we sell ourselves to the outside world. There is a lot of poverty. We have a very low educational level. We don't have the same economy as Denmark. We are trying to develop our economy to make it more self-sustainable. Right now, 57% of our income comes from the Danish Bloc grant. We want to be more independent of that and to be able to pay a well way ourselves. No, we are not happy about the inequality economically. We want to definitely do something about that. But we have been moving forward with that. I don't see this as necessarily a question alone for Denmark to help. This is also a discussion we're having in Greenland. How do we develop our welfare and our country.
Yeah, but there are full sanctions on.
And that is something I think a lot of Greenlanders are really. This is really something that is debated most of the time. This is the most high on the agenda discussions we have in Greenland. It's not necessarily independency or anything else. It's about everyday welfare of our people.
And Greenland hasn't suffered by putting sanctions on Russia. No more Greenland fish being exported to Russia.
No, we quickly found other markets for that. Quite quickly, actually, much quicker than we expected.
As I say, the poverty rate so much higher than Denmark's. You must have come across many on the Republican right in the US saying that what if 100, that, well, at first it was $1 million for each of your 56,700 people in Greenland. What if $100,000 was offered to each person in Greenland in exchange for Greenland sovereignty? Given the poverty rates are so bad, relatively, in Greenland, do you think the Greenland population would take it?
I have to ask you if you would trade your nationality and culture for money. We won't. We have pride in our culture and in our lands, and we do not take money to trade that off.
So then I have to go back to this idea of sovereignty. I mean, Greenland has not criticized, Jens Fredrik Nielsen did not condemn the kidnapping of Maduro or Celia Flores, the president and first lady of Venezuela. Denmark, of course, including Greenland, recognized Kosovo. Isn't it a bit hypocritical of Greenlanders to say they have their own sovereignty while they have an American base and while they completely support the violations of sovereignty in countries all around the world?
I'm not sure you can say that we completely support attacks on other countries and people. We don't. We generally have quite a lot of both empathy support by countries that is run over by other countries, for instance, Ukraine and others. We see no problem in being strong-minded about that, but this is not something that is oftentimes discussed in Greenland. We are 57,000 people. It is something you rarely would read about in a Greenlandic paper. So I don't think you can say it has to do with any particular political stand and more about that oftentimes this wouldn't reach the papers outside what we would think about anything.
Yeah, but Greenland hosts this US base, as I said before, and NATO soldiers. Here in this region, I mean, this is just your average day in Dubai. The Dubai Gulf News, 2 children among 11 killed in Israeli attacks across Gaza, the genocide of this century. Denmark is arming Israel.
Strong outpouring of support for Gaza in Greenland.
Well, yeah, but Denmark is arming Israel. Greenland supports Denmark. So no matter what Greenland is doing, it is involved in genocide.
We are in the Kingdom of Denmark, and they have jurisdiction over our foreign policies. That's not the same as that we are totally aligned on any subject. So you cannot equalize Greenland and Denmark. It seems like you don't understand we are two different countries, even though we are within a kingdom. And so I'm not sure what you're asking me to tell you.
Isn't it time for Greenland to have sovereignty over its foreign policy, just as it has over its local governance outside of the U.S. space?
Well, if you follow Greenland politics, you would have seen in the last election that was something all the parties called for, more maneuver room within the foreign policies. That is something we are definitely working towards. That's not the same as saying that we want full sovereignty tomorrow. That's just saying that we are following this path of getting more and more self-determination and have done that over the decades.
But at the moment, Greenland's stance is, in reaction to what Trump has been saying, to get closer to NATO and to try and negotiate its way to continue being allied to the United States, not to seek wider alliances with BRICS nations and a multipolar world.
Well, we are, I think there are different dialogues going on, and one of them is a NATO-led discussion about presence in the high north. Then there is the ones that we are more directly involved in with the trilateral dialogues between the U.S. administration and the Kingdom of Denmark. So that is right now two different dialogues that is going on. And I expect more will come later. So now we're not involved in the direct dialogue on NATO. We are concentrating on the trilateral discussions with the U.S. administration regarding Greenland and the 1951 agreement that I expect is one of the things that we are discussing, and that is the thing that also grant America access to Greenland, also, as you mentioned, the Bitufix space.
Just finally, I mean, obviously, everyone has been shocked all around the world by what Trump has been saying about Greenland. The Sulzberger New York Times says it's the end of NATO as we know it. That's the front page in the New York Times. You, however, don't believe that basically the United States has signaled the end of NATO and the place where it all happened is Greenland.
I definitely think that NATO is in a difficult place right now. And also because of the, you can say the different maybe alliances are shifting within the NATO member countries. So yes, I think NATO is under a lot of stress. I don't know the future of it. I don't even know the future of the more geopolitical situation 2 years from now. I think things are changing quite a bit and it's going to be difficult to, I think I agree with Carney when he says that there's really no going back, I think, to what was. I think we have to figure out where to go next. So I cannot answer your question with a very clear answer. I think things are changing, but I do still believe that NATO, for my part of the world, has brought more peace and realizing, of course, this is not the truth anywhere or everywhere. I understand that fully. But for Greenland, it has brought a period of more peace.
Minister Nathanielsen, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences, of course, to those bereaved by this region's UK-US EU armed genocide. We'll be back on Saturday with a brand new episode. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.